Morning to you all. It really is. I just want to echo what's already been said. It's lovely to see you all here, and just lovely to see Gary and Laura's family and friends here this morning. And also, if you are a visitor who just happens to come and isn't anything to do with the dedication, you're very welcome as well. Now, Gary and Laura have achieved something that Garen and I didn't manage to do, and that is they've had a girl. And we wouldn't be without, Garen and I wouldn't be without any of our boys. But there was a moment when the youngest one was born and he was a boy where Garen said, "I won't have anybody to walk down the aisle," which was a bit sad. But now we've got two daughters-in-law and two granddaughters as well as a grandson. So the balance has been redressed in our family. But you will know that when a baby is born, there are certain questions that everybody wants to know the answers to. When they've found out, hopefully, that mum and baby are doing well, they want to ask, how much does she weigh? Who does she look like? And all those sorts of questions. And as parents, they want to know the name. And as parents, we look at our tiny baby and we think, who is this tiny being? Who is she going to be? What's she going to experience in her lifetime? What's her character going to be like? What does the future hold for her? And we want to sort of get a picture of who this little person is. And knowing who we are is really important to us. Because in the past, people used to very much live in the same place for generations. So they knew their roots and they knew where they came from. But today, our society is a bit more disconnected, isn't it? And that's probably why there's quite an interest at the moment in tracing your family history. People want to know where they've come from. They want to know who they are, in a sense. And I must admit that I really like the BBC programme, Who Do You Think You Are? Does anybody else watch that? Do you like that? Yeah, I love it. And actually, one of the best ones I've seen recently was where Danny Dyer, the EastEnders actor, what they do is they help people, celebrities, trace their family history. And they helped him trace his family history and back to Thomas Cromwell and then to Edward I. And he was absolutely beside himself that he, a boy from a poor council estate in Putney, could trace his ancestry directly to a king. He was over the moon. And I must admit, I have tried to trace my history, and all I have found so far is a few labourers, a couple of sailors, and a rat catcher. So, but only with time will we find out who Olivia is going to be, what her personality is like. Some of the things we can answer already, but it will take time as she grows to find out what her character is like, what her personality is like, and see the things that she is going to do. And Gary and Laura have come here this morning because one of the things they believe about her is that she is a gift from God. And so they've come here to acknowledge that, to thank God for that, and together and ask us, ask God to bless her. And together we've come and we have promised to encourage them and to pray for them as Olivia grows up. And in this short time this morning, I just want us to look a little bit about what God says about Olivia. And to help us with that, I want to read some beautiful verses from one of the Psalms. And it says this: "For you created me, you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And that's just a beautiful, beautiful poetic words written by King David to express who he was in God's eyes and what we believe about Olivia. God always planned Olivia. There's no question that Gary and Laura have looked forward to her arrival. She is wanted and desired and eagerly anticipated. But it wasn't just Gary and Laura and their families who looked forward to her arrival. God planned her and desired her long before she was born, even before the beginning of the world. He says, I knew you even before. I knew you even before I formed you in the womb. God desired for her to be. She wasn't an accident. He wanted her. And he created her in his own image. It says God created men and women in his own image. Who does Olivia look like? I don't know what you think. Maybe Gary, maybe Laura. I think maybe Laura. But as she grows, her looks and her characteristics will reflect who her parents are. And Olivia is also created to be like her heavenly father. It doesn't mean she's going to be a physical replica of God, but she has attributes that come from him. The capacity to love and be compassionate, to be kind, to be full of strength and wisdom and faith, and to be creative. The ability to form relationships. She's going to be like her parents in some ways, but she's made in the image of God. And she's unique. Because God is infinitely creative, even though she is made in his image, she is also unique. There isn't one person who has ever been, who is now, or who will be exactly like Olivia. There may be people who look a bit like her. I know that Gary has an identical twin, and we have identical twin boys as well. But they are their own people. They have their own personalities, their own interests and talents, and they have different lives. There is no one exactly like Olivia. And the Bible says that we are God's workmanship created to do good things. And the word there, the sort of Greek word used for workmanship, has connotations of a work of art. Olivia is a masterpiece that God has made. And he's got a unique future planned for her. And she's loved and valued. Obviously, she's very much loved and precious to her family. And God sees her as infinitely precious to him. And I love this verse. It says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will always be with Olivia. He will be with her in times of difficulty. He will calm her and give her peace when she's anxious. And he'll rejoice over her with singing. And Gary and Laura, I feel that's a verse for Olivia. It's a verse I want to speak over her and a promise that God is giving her. She's already brought and will continue to bring joy to her family. But she will make mistakes in her life. At times she will be deliberately naughty. And as she gets older, she will mess up sometimes. Like all of us, she'll have some difficult times. But Gary and Laura will love her regardless through it all. They'll be there for her. They'll see her as precious, and nothing can change that. And that's the way God feels about her too. Whatever her circumstances, whatever may have happened, whatever may happen in her life, he will love her because he is love. And she's made for relationship. The people we love and value are those that we want relationship with. Olivia has a relationship with her family. She'll develop many more relationships as she grows. God is by very nature a God of relationship. The Trinity is something that's a bit difficult to understand. Father, Son, and Spirit, all working together in perfect harmony. And that's a picture of relationship. relationship was God's idea. He is relationship. He loves it. And so he created Olivia to have a relationship with him throughout her life and into eternity. He wants to be deeply involved in her life, to guide her, to encourage her, to teach her, to be a safe place for her in times of trouble, to show her his love and forgiveness when she messes up. But more than that, he just wants to spend time with her, enjoying her presence and her company. Being a Christian isn't about religion. It's not about a set of rules. It's all about relationship with a God who loves us and created us and is passionate about us. And he's a God who doesn't make everything easy for us as we live in a broken world. But he loves us so much that he chose to enter into this broken world in the form of Jesus. And he chose to reveal himself to us and to rescue us. He's a God who set aside his divine powers to live a perfect human life and then take upon himself the horror of the cross in our place. To take the punishment for our mess-ups, mistakes, and deliberate wrongdoings. And so that we could have a relationship with him, new life, and a relationship with him forever. If we choose to enter into that relationship, we become children of God. One of Jesus' followers said this. He said, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." What an amazing privilege to be God's child. His desire is to lavish his love upon Olivia and upon each one of us. But he won't force a relationship on Olivia or with any of us. He simply invites her. And she will have to choose for herself. That's why she's been dedicated this morning and not baptized. We believe that everything I've said this morning about the way God sees Olivia is true not just for her, but for each one of us. Let's go back to that TV program, Who Do You Think You Are? I want to ask us all this morning, who do we think we are? A number of years ago, somebody asked me that question. They said, "Who is Ruth?" And you know, I found it incredibly difficult to answer because I wasn't allowed to define myself by being a daughter, a mother, a wife. I wasn't allowed to define myself by my job, what I did, or anything that I'd done. And it was incredibly difficult. When all those things are stripped away, who am I? Who am I right at the core of my being? Now I find it easier. Now my answer would be simply this. Loved by God. That's who I am. I am made by him, loved by him, for relationship with him. So I just want us to ask ourselves, who am I when all those other things are stripped away? We recently spent a few days looking after our nearly three-year-old granddaughter while her parents were away. And the thing that really struck me was how absolutely secure she is that she is loved. She's important and precious to mum and dad. She knows it. She didn't ask for them at all while they were away, not because she didn't miss them or love them, but because she was convinced that they still loved her even when they weren't there. She knew they'd be back, that they wouldn't desert her. And in the meantime, Nine and Tide would do the job. And when they did come back, she was ecstatic. And it seems to me that that's how it's meant to be with our Father God, that we are meant to be absolutely secure in our relationship with him, not letting anything throw us into fear and confusion, knowing he's still there even when we can't feel his presence. Absolute trust. So for those of us who are believers this morning, I want us to know the answer to that question beyond all doubt. with certainty. I know from my experience at times that with all that life throws at us, we lose sight of that. And sometimes we can believe it for others. Yes, God loves so-and-so, but I'm not sure about me. But it's important that we understand that we are unique and loved and made by God for relationship with him. And it's vitally important, I'm not saying that just to make us feel good, but it's vitally important that we live in the reality of that, that we strip away all the other stuff that we hide behind, and we live like God's precious children, because he's got things planned for us to do. If you're not a believer, I just want to ask you that question too. Because we believe that you were planned and wanted and made in God's image, unique and loved and made for relationship with him. It doesn't matter what's happened in your life, the things you've experienced. In his eyes, no one is an accident. No one is too messed up to be in relationship with him. And neither is anyone too perfect. But he won't force you. He wants you to come out of choice. He simply invites you. There is a cost, and that is of admitting our wrongdoing, our sin, and asking forgiveness, and choosing to live in the way that he planned for us all along, because he loves us. So, we just give thanks this morning for a beautiful, beautiful baby girl. We give thanks for the fact that God loves her, that he delights in her, and that he has a future plan for her, that he will always be there for her. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you so much this morning that you are a God of love, that you are the God who created each one of us. We thank you, Lord, for Olivia. And we just want to pray your blessing on her this morning, that she will always know that you take great delight in her, that you rejoice over her with singing. We pray again for Gary and Laura, for Theo and Oscar, and we just pray blessing on them as a family. Father, we thank you for their love for you. Lord, we just want to ask that we would know and love you more deeply, that we would grasp how much we are loved, and that we would rejoice to live in the way that you have called us to live. Amen.